At that time, Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our abode with him." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Venerable clergy and religious, dear parishioners, the Feast of Pentecost is one of the greatest feasts in the church. And in large churches in parts of Europe, some very unique things were done to show the majesty and the greatness of this feast. A couple of things I was reading about is that in churches of Italy, that many red rose petals are cast from the ceiling. And remember, these are huge churches that have upper levels, upper, not decks, but, you know, places where people can climb very high. And during part of the Mass, many red rose petals are thrown. And they're probably assisted by fans. And it's to represent the tongues of fire that came upon the apostles. One church in particular, I remember seeing a video of the Church of Our Lady of Queen of the Martyrs, which was originally the Roman Pantheon, which has a very large opening at the top of it, so it lends itself very well to countless red rose petals being thrown over the edge, down upon everybody. Obviously, there's a lot of sweeping to be done afterwards. But it's definitely a very dramatic expression of an aspect of Pentecost Sunday. We read that there was a great wind blowing, which is even a violent wind coming, that shook Jerusalem. That was the coming of the Holy Ghost. So in France, there was a custom of making use of trumpets. Obviously, they have to be blown. Lots of air is used. So that's a expression of the Holy Ghost as the divine wind coming upon the apostles. Another way to understand the greatness of this feast is that we call Pentecost the birthday of the church. But this begs a question. Didn't our Lord have 40 days in which to complete everything? He's the one that founded the church. And he ascended into heaven on Ascension Thursday. Was our Lord somehow lacking? He's Almighty God. But here's the answer to the question. Our Lord did not want us to neglect or forget about the Holy Ghost, and there would have been that danger. And so he said, "Go and to Jerusalem and await the coming of the Holy Ghost. He will teach you all truth." Wasn't our Lord teaching truth? Yes, but the Holy Ghost was teaching them or reinforcing that truth in a special way. In other words, our Lord, not lacking in any way as a second person of the Blessed Trinity, wanted us to remember how important the Holy Ghost is. He's sometimes called the forgotten person of the Trinity. We think of the Father all the time. We say in our daily prayers, "Our Father who art in heaven." We're reminded of that, and we ascribe creation to the Father, even though all three persons did it. We naturally and very easily think of the Son when we think of the redemption, of him coming upon earth to take on our human nature. And that's a mystery. The Trinity is a mystery, the Incarnation is a mystery, the redemption is a mystery, but we believe them because God has revealed them. And of course, our Lord sometimes spoke as God, sometimes he spoke as man. In this extract from St. John today, the Father is greater than I. Our Lord was obviously talking from his human nature. At times he wanted to emphasize his humanness, but at other times he emphasized his divineness. So it's easy to remember the Son, but we again might forget the Holy Ghost. And therefore, the work was not complete until Pentecost Sunday. So yes, today is the birthday of the church. It's completely founded and functioning with the coming of the Holy Ghost. And what we ascribe to the Holy Ghost is sanctification. He is the soul of the church. That's the teaching of the fathers of the church. He's also the soul of our own soul. In the gospel, our Lord says, "If anyone love me, my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our abode with him." Do we hear those words? God loves us so much that he wants to come and live in us through sanctifying grace. And that's who you have present. But the Holy Ghost, in a particular way, because of the sanctification that we ascribe to him. Today at Mass, the High Mass with incense, after the altar is incensed, the priest, the servers, and you will be incense. Isn't incense offered only to God? Or something that represents God very directly? The crucifix, the altar. We are all incensed, because if we are in the state of grace, the all-important state of grace, without it you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. God is literally dwelling in us through sanctifying grace. And when you stand today during the offertory to be incensed, remember the server is honoring the presence of the Father, the Son, and especially the Holy Ghost, because we call our bodies temples of the Holy Ghost. He is being honored within you because you have his divine life through sanctifying grace. We so desperately need the Holy Ghost. We need his gifts. And the more we receive rejection of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, the rejection of our Lord's teachings, we see the rejection of sanctifying grace, and we see the world continuing to fall into more and more sin and depravity. Without the grace of God, there's no telling how far we're going to fall. I'm reminded of a saying of Chesterton. He says, if a man will not be supernatural, he will not even be natural. He'll sink below that. How desperately we need grace, the gifts of the Holy Ghost that do so much. There was an inspiring video that I was able to view in the last week or so, and it's a conversion story, and unfortunately I didn't put the link to that in the bulletin, but you can find the link on our Twitter feed. If you feel familiar enough with that, you can look up the links, and I promise to get them into the next bulletin 2 weeks from now. But it's about a young lady who was raised traditional Catholic and who fell away. And she is Canadian. She was Our Lady of Victory's parish. And at first, things were very good. And she talked about the Catholic school that Father Anaya, soon after his ordination in 1997, was able to start there. I think she called it the best year of her life, being in a Catholic school. But then she grew up. Unfortunately, there was no Catholic high school to attend. Her mother had to work. Her father was not Catholic. And she fell away very badly. Very beautiful honesty in this interview that, in this, as I said, in this video. And she talked about how she's truly the prodigal daughter. And got into an improper relationship, rejected the Catholic faith, rejected her family. They wouldn't accept her sin. And so she rejected them. You've heard this story often enough, haven't you? And one of the most powerful things I think she said as she's being interviewed, her name is Holly, she's being interviewed by Kevin Davis. One of the most powerful things I think she said was, she says, sin makes you stupid. Sin really does that. And she, in retrospect, she could see how stupid she became, to say the least, in her sinfulness. Yes, sin. When we reject the life of God in us, we become not only in a state of damnation, we also become stupid, and more so as time goes on. You look at the world today, now things are so insane that words are undergoing, it's like words don't even have any meaning anymore. What is a man? What is a woman? What is a pronoun? Sin makes us stupid. And it causes a lot more problems than that, too. So, yes, God's grace helps us to live not only in a sane manner, in a realistic manner, but in a holy manner. And this is what the Holy Ghost is doing in your soul. We have to welcome Him. We have to welcome the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. I mean, they're already there automatically through sanctifying grace, but we need to literally welcome them. So often the Holy Ghost is called the divine guest. Well, our Lord is our divine guest, too. The Father is our divine guest. How blessed we are. I mean, we, these tiny little finite beings, and this infinite being wants to come and live in me? Yes, that's how much God loves us. We need to have a personal relationship with each person of the Holy Trinity. At times, we need to appeal to the Father, especially when we're feeling the need for, well, fatherhood. God is the ultimate Father. We need at times to turn to the Son, our Redeemer, our divine food and Holy Communion. And yes, we can even say in the proper manner and with the greatest respect, our divine brother. Why? Because by adoption, we are adopted. We become children of the same Father, that He's the only natural Son of the Father. And we also happen to have the same mother. He alone, one mother, the only Son by nature, in His human nature, we all by adoption, and then the Holy Ghost who lives in us. So my hope was in today's sermon was to just make more vivid and real to you that relationship, which needs to be nurtured and strengthened and made and developed as time goes on, a stronger. Isn't this what we want of any good relationship? Well, certainly with God is our greatest relationship, a greater bond with the Father, a greater bond with the Son, and a greater bond with the Holy Ghost, who brought so much blessing upon a world that so desperately needed him. And do not underestimate, my dear brethren, what the Holy Ghost will do for you through his seven gifts. What he has done through the centuries, nourished the church, helped her through the greatest challenges, helped the martyrs, helped all Catholics in all the challenges and difficulties. May we grow in that awareness of his gifts so that we can say, as those people did on that first Pentecost, talking about all the places where they were from and their nationalities, Parthians, Medes, Elamites, Judeans, Cappadocians, Cretans, Arabians, etc., etc., we have heard them speaking in our own languages of the wonderful works of God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.